Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation today, as always, glad to welcome back Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS, Shane Lieberman. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Looking forward to our conversation.
Good to be back with you.
Perhaps we can begin with an update on the campaign trail, Decision 2024. I have been noticing some reports as of late that President Biden's polling gains against former President Trump, which we did cover on the podcast here a couple of weeks ago, those gains appear to be dissipating over concerns related to the U.S. economy, and that's underscored by the disappointing Q1 GDP print we received earlier this morning. So do you have any insight into what national polling is pointing to at the moment, and that of battleground states for that matter?
Yeah, no, this is quite interesting, and obviously given today's news of inflation and, you know, slowing of the economy, you know, this could further bite into President Biden's polling numbers. But also, I think it's also important that we note that there's been some recent polling that is actually some good news for President Biden. So there's a lot going on right now. You know, to your first point, we have seen former President Trump make up some ground. What's also interesting is this, he's making up ground while his trial in New York on hush money payments is ongoing. And, you know, with that being very visible in the news, you know, to see him gain some ground is quite interesting. But I think, you know, for a lot of Americans, you know, pocketbook issues always is kind of a home base, if you will. A lot of voters may be concerned about other issues, but if the economy starts to falter for them personally, it's really near and dear to their heart. So I think you're seeing some of that reflected in the polls. But on the flip side, as I mentioned, there's some good news for President Biden. Two things I would point to. One, you know, there was a poll that came out on Monday that RFK Jr. may be actually pulling more votes away from Trump than he is from Biden. A lot of Team Biden has been very concerned about RFK Jr. Because he's, you know, well known for many of his left-leaning stances, you know, like his advocacy on environmental issues. But I think, you know, as RFK Jr. becomes well more known to many Americans, you know, he does appeal to some Trump voters, and that was reflected. You know, RFK was an anti-vaxxer before we even knew what COVID was. So, you know, that gives him some credibility with voters on that side of the issue. So, you know, I think Team Biden is going to be very interested to look deeper into this and see if it's actually a strength when they had previously thought it was a liability. The other thing I would note is that this past Tuesday was the primary in Pennsylvania. While, you know, Trump and Biden have both won enough primaries to, you know, secure the nomination, primary voting still happens in a number of states to come. And Pennsylvania's was very interesting, right? You know, President Biden won Pennsylvania for the Democrat nomination with over 90% of the vote. About 7% voted for Congressman Dean Phillips, even though he has technically pulled himself out of the race. On the flip side, for Republicans, Nikki Haley, who herself has pulled herself out of the race, she received about 16% of the vote. So President Trump, former President Trump, got a little bit over 80% of voters. But that's quite a lot of voters, you know, who went and proactively went in. And these are Republican voters because they have a closed primary. So they went, woke up that day, and were going to essentially vote against former President Trump. And these are votes that, you know, he will need to win Pennsylvania, which will be one of the states that decides the election. So a lot of moving parts here with polling. I think we should always keep in mind that polls are kind of a snapshot of how Americans feel at, you know, at any given day. And, you know, we're 6.5 months away from Election Day, so a lot can happen.
really is interesting to hear how these polling dynamics are playing out, especially on the state level, as you outline Pennsylvania for us. Though, to your point, Shane, many months ahead, and we'll continue to keep our listeners informed as to how Decision 2024 takes shape. I do want to turn over to Congress and circle back on a topic we've been talking about for several weeks now, that being a funding bill for Ukraine, Israel, as well as Taiwan. Now, since we last spoke, that has indeed passed through Congress. So with that behind us, I'm curious as to what we can all expect from Congress over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, first of all, I would note that that's a victory for Speaker Johnson, Senate leaders, Schumer and McConnell. They have, you know, gotten that across the finish line after months of delays on it and infighting. And so I think, you know, in both the House and Senate, you saw overwhelming majorities support the final product. So, you know, this is a bipartisan effort that finally succeeded. But you're correct. You know, that was kind of the big item hanging out. And so now it's a question of Congress's pivot. What are they going to do now? There are a few items on the agenda. You know, you have FAA, which is up for reauthorization, that Congress will work on in the coming weeks and hopes to, you know, finalize. They may end up doing, you know, another short-term punt, but I think that would be a top of the line of the mountain goal for them to get that taken care of. I think you'll see the Senate take a lot of time on judges in the coming weeks and months. You know, we looked back at the numbers, and, you know, we were always amazed during former President Trump's term, the pace of judges he was able to get approved by the Senate. And we compared that with President Biden. Actually, as of April 19th, they were equal. They both had had 193 judges approved by the Senate. So I think Democrats are going to, you know, recognize that, you know, not that much else of major priorities are going to get done this year. So the Democrats in the Senate will spend a lot of time approving judges. And I think that will be noteworthy for them and something that they're going to talk about, especially as, you know, abortion is an issue that drives a lot of their base, and they'll try and that will help connect the dots, I think, for them to their voters. Republicans, you know, in the House are probably going to do something similar, where they're going to try and juxtapose, you know, Republican versus Democrat ideas, and have a lot of political votes, if you will, this coming these coming weeks in summer. So a lot to do, but I think, you know, for big ticket items, there's only a few things that we really expect between now and the election.
As always, it does sound like a very busy agenda ahead for Congress. So thank you, Shane, for pointing all of that out for us. Maybe one more topic we can touch on before we close out. So this is turning to China. We did see this week Secretary of State Antony Blinken is visiting China for a round of talks. Now, this is against a tense backdrop at the moment of looming U.S. sanctions against China, along with a potential ban of TikTok usage here in the U.S. We spoke about that briefly last week. So I'm curious as to what Secretary Blinken's agenda consists of and an overall purpose of this particular visit.
Yeah, I think the overall purpose is, you know, trying to keep open the lines of communication and make sure there is that healthy dialogue. But you're correct. There are a number of issues that are very sensitive in nature now, you know, from TikTok to China supporting Russia and China, you know, kind of throwing it back in Secretary Blinken's face, saying you just gave, you know, some $60 billion to Ukraine. You know, understand that we're on opposite sides of the issue here. You know, at the same time, Secretary Blinken is going to be advocating for American businesses in China, trying to level the playing field that they perceive that he perceives is against U.S. businesses doing in China. At the same time, as we just mentioned, you know, China is saying, "Well, look what you're doing to TikTok, and how is that a level playing field for a Chinese subsidiary business?" So, a lot going on, a lot of tense talks. You know, I think dialogue is always healthy. I am skeptical that these conversations will yield many results. But if there are some small results that can be, found now and built upon later, that would be a positive. This is a tough visit for Secretary Blinken. I think, often you go into kind of these bigger visits with, something in mind that you're going to come away with as, what is agreed upon. I'm not sure there's going to be much here on that front, especially given that, there are issues on the economic front, like the Biden administration looking to quadruple tariffs on some Chinese products like steel, that the Chinese are not going to really take lightly. I'm fascinated by this visit. I'm interested to see what comes out of it, but I'm not that optimistic that it's going to yield any great results between the U.S. and China.
Right. We'll see what happens, though, of course, always encouraging that dialogue continues. So thank you for bringing us up to speed on that, Shane, and for covering all of the ground that you did for us this week for our listeners and clients. Wish you a nice weekend ahead. Enjoy the spring weather and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad to see the sun hit my face, and I hope you enjoy the weekend too.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Before we close out, I do want to remind our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, that you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication, which is available for you up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.